Good evening, everyone. Are you good? Smile and wave. Yay. Good. It's really an honor to be here tonight and just to share as the first series. So thank you, Yanu, for that opportunity. And let's just pray. I know we have prayed, but let's just, Father, we love you. We thank you that you sent Jesus, and at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here, that we hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we just want to say you are so welcome. Thank you for your presence that is here. We acknowledge you, we love you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're not used to this, if you're feeling like you've got a blanket around you, your heart's pounding, you're hot, that's the presence of God. He's here. He loves his people. He loves visiting them. He loves being with us. He never leaves us. So guess what? You've got a day-to-day, night-to-night visitor all the time. It's so wonderful. He never stops leaving your sleepover party. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start our School of Prophecy, and I love that Yanu called it the School of Prophecy, because do you know we're all learning? Do you know none of us know everything? That there are angels that go around the throne room, and every time they go around, they start a new holy, holy. And they've been doing it for a few thousand years. So if the angels are finding out something new about Jesus every time they go around the throne room, I think we're going to learn a few more things. Amen. So if you think you know it all, I've got news for you. You don't. Okay. We're going to learn together. Often when we have prophetic schools, I know we're reaching a whole range of people. Maybe some of you here have stepped out in the prophetic. You've heard God. You've given a word, and it's been mind-blowing and life-changing, and people have been set free, and you've come away thinking, yes, I prophesied, and that's for you tonight. And then there's others that have been very brave, and the person's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It means nothing to me. And then you've never prophesied again, and now you're just giving it another shot. And then there's some of you that have never even tried. And so my goal and my heart for you tonight is to approach all three of those categories, that you will get brave and bold enough, because Jesus said that, Paul actually said it, that we must desire to prophesy. Out of all the gifts, he wants us to prophesy and hear his name and speak his words over the body of Christ, over the world, because this world needs to hear the voice of God. Amen. So, we are going to do the ABCs of prophecy. Yes, the teaching is coming out, my fellow friends. A, are you ready? Everyone say A. Let's start at the very beginning, okay? I'm not going to sing Do Re Mi, but we will start with A, okay? So A is, everyone say A. Good. A is all about Jesus. To start the prophetic school, you need to understand that before you open your mouth, whatever is going to come out has to be from the finished work of Jesus. It is all about him. And in the ancient times, we understand that in Ephesians 2, verse 20, in the NIV, it says, the Apostle Paul describes the church as being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In ancient times, a cornerstone was the first foundation stone laid in a building. It was critical to the success of its construction. Without that cornerstone, everything would be skew. So they would put a cornerstone in, and every building block was lined up against that cornerstone. Now, I know in some other scriptures, they call Jesus the capstone and the keystone and the cornerstone. So I thought I'd just put this picture on. It's quite interesting. I personally found this very interesting. But the keystone is the one in the arch right at the top. Cornerstone, it's very difficult, but if you get the hint, it's on the corner. Okay? Remember that corner key, and then the capstone is the little cap on top. And Jesus is all of this. And when we understand that he is our cornerstone, that everything we say in the prophetic, that everything we read in the word, then lines up with Jesus, we can build our prophetic voice. Does that make sense? So we have to understand that Jesus himself is our most important foundation in our prophetic ministry. He is our source and our primary reference point. And if you weren't here on our ladies' conference, I really encourage you not only to listen to all the messages, but there was a fantastic one by Christy Rose, and she spoke about Jesus being our reference point, not just on who we're going to, but where we've come from. And Jesus is our reference point when it comes to our life, faith, and ministry, and that includes our journey of growing in hearing his voice. He is our cornerstone. In Hebrews 1 verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe." So often when we're learning about the prophetic and we understand, we go into the Old Covenant and we look at the prophets and we look at Elisha and we look at Elijah and we try and learn and we get confused as why they're calling down fire from heaven and all this. But you've got to understand, this is why I love Hebrews. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Everything that Jesus did is our new prophetic voice. I never hear Jesus speaking condemnation. I never hear Jesus speaking judgment. Even before he died, he wasn't speaking like that. Even more so after the cross, should we as a prophetic voice be following Jesus' example. In John 14 verse 9, and we've just done a whole series on this, if you haven't heard, go and listen to it. But Jesus says about his Father, he says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." I would love to be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. I'm in the family business. He's called me his daughter. I have his resemblance. Do you know that? I have his nose. I have his eyes. The Bible says I'm made in his image. So we are his family. So really, the more we practice his voice, the more we practice hearing it, we should become more and more like Jesus. We should have his mannerisms. We should be having his miracles. We should be hearing the very heartbeat of what he wants to say to others. Doesn't that make you feel special? It really takes all the pressure off. It really does. You don't have to make any of this stuff up. You just speak what Jesus says. And don't add to it and don't take from it. It really is that simple. It's just Jesus. You know, so often we can have mentors, and they're wonderful mentors, like I said in the Bible. They're wonderful mentors in the earth today. I mean, we've got people like Chris Valentin. We've got people like Julian Adams, who was here at the beginning of the year. And I know some of you had lives changed because he was just such a spot-on prophet. We've got people like Helen Calder and Sean Boltz that have all been called to prophesy and bless the church as a prophet. But do you know, and we're going to get into the difference between a prophet and the gifts of prophecy and word of knowledge. Don't get confused. It's all Jesus. Even the office of a prophet is all about Jesus. They're really not as special as we think they are. They're just hearing Jesus' voice. And so tonight, my encouragement is that as we grow to be like Jesus, our communication style and our language will be plain and easily understood, just like Jesus was with his culture. Prophetic doesn't have to be scary. You don't have to change your voice. You don't have to change your style of language. Do you know God doesn't speak always in the old King James? Hallelujah. Sorry, Cecily, to burst your bubble. He doesn't change his voice, and he loves to speak. And I love in Mark, this is what Mark says of Jesus, and the common people heard him gladly. In another translation, it says, the large crowd listened to him with delight. The moment you start to prophesy, it should just bring such delight to the body of Christ. It should bring such delight to even those that don't know Jesus, that they want to run to him. That they want to stop what they're doing. That they want to feel like he knows me inside and out, but loves me just the same. And I want to change. That is an encounter with Jesus, and that's what prophecy is. All right, are you with me? We've done A. What was A? Yes, you're with me. Okay, what's next in the alphabet? Here we go. B, good, good, good. Hallelujah for our education system. Okay, B is back to the basics. Back to the basics. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I'll share my testimony. But as Jesus set out on his ministry, he made an announcement from the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did you see all the proclaiming there? You're proclaiming good news. You're proclaiming freedom. You're proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. This was Jesus' basics. He said, listen, this is what Isaiah prophesied. This is what I'm going to fulfill. This is what I'm going to proclaim when I open my mouth to prophesy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to share good news. I'm going to tell the captives they're free. I'm going to tell people if they're blind, physically, mentally, I'm going to tell them their eyes are opened. And I'm going to tell them that there is favor from the Lord for them. This is what Jesus went to when he went back to the basics. And this has become my little... Oh, it's one of my, and I shared with our staff, because what was happening is every time I went to the bathroom, I would find an empty toilet roll. And I really, my staff will know, where it's literally 95% of time, I go to the bathroom, no matter where I am in the town, school, church, home, work, wherever I am, restaurants, I walk into the store, and there is an empty toilet roll sitting on the wall in the toilet roll holder. Every time. And eventually I was getting very frustrated with this because I was like, are people this lazy that they cannot change the toilet roll holder? Like, how hard? Takes me 2 seconds. Can anyone change the toilet roll in this town? And then God spoke to me so clearly. And this was the scripture he gave me. And he said, there is an empty, dying world. And it's your job to fill them, to remind them that the Spirit of the Lord is on you to proclaim good news. Where people are feeling empty, you've got to show them my fullness. So now I get very excited when I see an empty toilet roll. And even at the conference, Gwen on the Saturday morning opened with this scripture. And I went upstairs, I found my toilet, and I walked in. Obviously, there was the empty toilet roll. I took it to her, and I said, here is your confirmation that you read the right scripture. because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach. And so every time, now we're all going to, okay, now leave some for me, okay? Don't everyone go and change toilet rolls now. I need some still to be reminded that this is what. But this is the message of the good news, the gospel. It is good news to the poor. Not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. God wants us to be prophesying good news, okay? It proclaims and results in freedom. Not just proclaims. God wants us to proclaim and see the freedom when we prophesy. Then it also reconciles and invites reconciliation. God's heart is that everyone be reconciled, because that's what he came from, for. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? So if you are prophesying sin and gloom and doom, guess what? That's not God's basics. He says here that he's not counting people's sins against them. So if he's not counting, I'm not going to start. I'm really not going to start. Because we're all about Jesus. In prophetic ministry, what you are hearing from God, the revelation from the Holy Spirit, will always resonate with the message of the gospel. It will be redemptive, it will reflect God's heart and purpose to redeem and restore. Isn't that so beautiful? Prophecy is only there to encourage, to edify, and confirm. Anybody that prophesies over you, and we're going to get to practice. So if you're excited, let me warn you, we're going to practice, okay? So not tonight, you can all just breathe. Okay, just breathe. Say, I can do this, okay? All right? So we will be, it's a school, guys. Okay, we get to practice, it's a school. We'll make mistakes, we'll learn, we're going to have fun, okay? But let me give you this warning. If someone speaks over you, whether they know you, whether they're a stranger, whether they're a prophet from America or any other country. I don't know why I said America, but it just felt right at that moment, okay? But anyone who speaks over you and it doesn't edify you, doesn't build you up and encourage you, and it's not confirmation of what God has already told you, don't listen. Don't come to me and say, I don't have this. Don't even switch it on in your soul. And I'm not talking about anything that doesn't edify you. Don't listen. If people are bringing up past sins and past, it's not my Jesus speaking. So please know that. That is our foundation. That is back to basics. And then the last one. We're only doing ABC. Don't worry. Don't hang in there. We're not going to Z tonight. You're okay. I'm not going to keep you till midnight. We're only doing C. Okay? C is let intimacy with Jesus be your source. Let intimacy with Jesus be your source. And you're all like D, that's got nothing to do with C. You work so well with your A and your B, but now you've lost the plot with your C. Okay, hang on. One of the definitions for intimacy is in to me you see. So, in to me you see. Ah. Are you all proud of me? I'm so happy. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Okay, good. Thank you, Cecily. You did it perfectly. Everyone say, into me you see. Yes, into me. God wants us to be intimate with him. And to be intimate with him means you allow him to look into you and see what you're going through, to see your deepest, darkest secrets, to see your deepest, darkest fears, and to say it's okay. To be intimate with him is to say, Jesus, here I am, see me. And when we understand that before we utter a word of prophecy, we have a relationship with Jesus, where we're getting to know him, where we're getting to love him. Because you see, so often we will hear voices, not that we hear voices, we will think we hear a voice of God, but because of our insecurity, because of what we felt maybe in the day or past hurts, or maybe we don't understand the character of God, and because we haven't been intimate with him, we misinterpret that voice. And so out of intimacy, we learn the nature of God. We learn his character. We learn what it looks like to hear a scripture and tell somebody properly. We learn to heed a warning and not rebuke someone, but to warn them properly in saying, hang on, I just feel God's warning you not to do this. With no judgment, with no condemnation, but we learn this intimacy as you have with relationships around you. The more you get to know someone, the better you understand them. You know, if one of you came to me and said, Steve is so angry with you that when he gets home, he's going to throw your best pot away. I only have one pot that really works. But I would say, hang on a sec. That's not my husband. He's never thrown a pot away in my whole life. He's never got that angry. Are you sure you do? Not my husband. I wouldn't believe one second that that's who you were talking about. Why? Because I know him. I know he's patient. I know he's kind. I know he loves my cooking no matter what. Thank you, love. But you know what? That's who we should be with our Heavenly Father. When he whispers those words for ourselves and for each other, we must know his character. We must have spent time with him. So often, those cornerstones that I spoke about were just decorated. They weren't actually the real cornerstone. And sometimes we can have ministries, we can have our Christian walk going on and going on, but that deep, intimate relationship with Jesus can be very shallow. And I love this in Revelations 2, in the Passion Translation, Christ's letter to the Ephesus. So this is Jesus writing to Ephesus in verse 1. It says, write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Ephesus. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven stars firmly in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all that you've done for me. You have worked hard and persevered. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claim to be apostles and proved they are not, for they were imposters. I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name. Yet you have not become discouraged. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. So often we're doing so many things in life, and so many, we're doing this and we're doing that. But God says, hang on a sec. And I love Steve's testimony when he was burnt out by religion and ministry, and his best friend said to him, you've forgotten one thing. You've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten how much you were loved when you gave your life to Jesus. And so before we can open our mouths with the prophetic, we need to understand how much we are loved. Because you can only give something that you have. So when you are overwhelmed with his love, then it just comes out. And so when we understand how much we are loved, that his love is unconditional and he's faithful and he walks us through this, then this love comes out when you prophesy. And then it's easy. It's so easy. And it can be so simple. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul also says in verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. These are some big, big, big statements. I don't know about you, but when last did you hear someone speaking like an angel? It says here, the tongues of angels. I've never heard that. Okay? It says the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Imagine being able to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, not just some, all of it. Okay? Then he says, if I can have faith that can move mountains. Imagine, there goes George Mountain into the sea. Table Mountain. Haven't seen it recently. But what's Paul saying? All of that. Nothing without love. Nothing. Can you imagine what you have when you have love? All of that. You have more than that. And that's my challenge tonight, is if you are feeling dry, if you're feeling weary, go and run to your cornerstone. Before you feel this pressure to perform, because so often with prophecy, you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to say it right. What happens if I'm a false prophet? And you'll freak out. Forget about that. If you've got love, you've got everything. You can't go wrong. So take the pressure off. Get excited to think, hang on, Lord, I'm excited. I want to grow in my prophetic. I want to learn to hear his voice even clearer. To say, Lord, this is me stepping out of the boat. I'm keeping my eyes on you. We're not going swimming today. And watch how we step out. Because you know what? God's word is our first prophetic tool. If you just have a scripture on your heart for somebody, do you know you're already prophesying? It's as simple as that. To say, I have a scripture for you, you are speaking the best prophetic voice over somebody. You can't mess that up. So tonight, won't you just close your eyes? Just where you're at. Let's just reflect a little bit. I first want to just address, maybe you've had a prophetic word spoken over you and it really made you feel ill. Maybe someone's spoken some doom and gloom. Maybe you've had somebody come up and it really, there was no confirmation. I want you to let go of that lie tonight. Don't let the enemy rob you of receiving another word because of a past failure. We all make mistakes. But the enemy would want you to be robbed of other voices, of other people blessing you. So tonight, if that's happened to you, just say, I choose to forgive. And if you know their name, or that situation, just say, I choose to forgive. Maybe tonight you're scared of prophetic and you feel pressure. Just run into his arms and say, Jesus, I want to hear your voice. Help me to be sensitive to you. Help me to hear you more than ever. And lastly, the act says that we can ask and receive the Holy Spirit, and He will give us boldness and wisdom. So if you need boldness tonight, maybe you need to step out in the prophetic. I want you to be bold tonight and just raise your hand and say, I want to be bold. If that's you and you want to step out in the prophetic, I'm not going to do anything. This is between you and Jesus to say, I am going to be bold. If that's you, raise your hand and say, I am going to be bold. That's you making a declaration to your heart and saying, I am going to be bold. Thank you. Say, Jesus, use me. I open my ears to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. You may put your hands down. And for those of you that maybe aren't there yet, I'd love you just to put your hand, everyone to put their hand on their heart. And just say, Jesus, speak to me first. What do you want to say to me? What truth do you want to tell me tonight? And as we are here, you will either get a little picture, you will get a scripture, maybe you will hear some words, a voice just saying, I love you, or I'm proud of you, I'm with you. Just hear His voice tonight. Lord, I pray that everyone who hears will be able to hear your voice right now. Speak to them. Show them how you see them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I would love, this is where we're going to get brave, 3 people, just 3, where God said something to you tonight, maybe that you've never heard before. God's touched you. I would love you to be brave. I'm coming to you. Hands up. Who's ready to share what God said to them? Andrea, thank you for being brave.
God said to me that I'm precious.
Beautiful. It's coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that precious? You're precious. Amen. Who else? I'm right here. Yes, Sandy.
A scripture verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. It says, test carefully all things that come. Recognize what's good and hold on to it.
Beautiful.
Hold on to good. If it's not good, let it go. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Otherwise, I'll pick you. No, I'm only joking. And yet, you all get to play, but you also get to choose. I promise you that. Come, who's going to be brave? I know God's spoken to lots of people. It's just a mic. Steffi, hatlo biso.
Just God just said to me, you are a bright, shining star.
Lovely. A bright, shining star. Now, what I love about prophecy is that when God speaks, do you know we're the body of Christ? Which means if he's speaking to a finger, we're still attached. Because Steph is part of the body and so am I. So if God says she's a bright shining star, do you know what I do? I don't think, oh Jesus, I wish I was a bright shining star. I wish I was precious. No, guess what? I am. Whatever, when people get specific prophecy, when it's encouragement like this, when it's that kind of scripture, guess what? Take it for yourself. That's God speaking. That's his character. That's his nature. Don't just sit and think about what you're going to have for breakfast. Think, no, this is my Father speaking. I'm listening. If he's speaking, if I didn't hear something for myself, guess what? I can use their words to speak to me. Can you see? It really takes the pressure off. And then the next time you have a quiet time, you think, God, you think I'm precious. And then you hear his voice say, you're precious. And I can tell you often, his voice sounds like your voice. So don't get confused. He's really speaking to you. It's that knowing, hang on, I'm loved. I'm precious. I'm a star. And holding on to that. It's all about Jesus. Go back to the basics. And let him be intimate with you this week. Desire prophecy. When God gives you a scripture to somebody, give it to them. When it's just you're a blessing, give it to them. Practice. Great ones don't start writing essays. They start with the ABCs. Practice. You can't go wrong with blessing somebody. Amen. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that we are learning every day to hear your voice so clearly. Help us to be tuned in. Help us to know your character, to understand who you are, and mostly, Lord, to see ourselves as you see us, to not believe the lies, to not let the enemy try and rob us of giving someone a blessing just because we're shy or embarrassed, but because we are bold and you're stepping out with us, we can proclaim your goodness this week. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful evening. In Jesus' name I pray this. And everybody said, Amen.